This is a story with a lot of mystery. Even some of the things we think we know about it, we don't know for certain. Jean H. Lee is a global fellow at the Wilson Center, and she's been following the story from Seoul, South Korea.
It's pretty clear that this man was Kim Jong-nam, and he is the elder half-brother of the current leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. However, he was holding a passport under the name Kim Chol. Now, I do like to explain that that name is really the equivalent of John Smith. It is a very common name in North Korea. So not that surprising that he would be traveling under that pseudonym. Now, the interesting thing is that North Korean officials in Malaysia, they do have an embassy there, are denying that this is Kim Jong-nam. And there's absolutely no confirmation. No next of kin have turned up to confirm his identity, to provide a DNA or dental or medical records. So at this point, you know, the only ID that they have is Kim Chol, although for all intents and purposes, officials in South Korea are saying this was Kim Jong-nam and that this was an assassination that was most likely organized by the North Korean state.
What's it been like piecing this together, watching it unfold, this sort of piece by piece of information?
You know, it sounds so Machiavellian, or I should say it sounds so feudal. It sounds like something out of Henry VIII. But North Korea, in many ways, still does operate like a court in the era of Henry VIII. So if you cross the leader, you know, it's off with your head. So although we don't have any conclusive proof that this was the work of Kim Jong-un or his agents, we don't have that proof yet, it would be something that North Koreans would understand is part of the pattern of behavior among their leaders.
And kind of either way, do you see this as a sign of strength or a sign of weakness or neither? Or, you know, what's the crux of the moment for you?
So we could see this in a couple different ways. Kim Jong-un is a young man. He's got to rule over men who are quite a bit older than him, and he's got to maintain his hold over the people for quite some time if he's really going to remain in power for decades to come. So you could see some of this as a sign that perhaps he hasn't consolidated his power. On the other hand, another way to look at this is he has now sent some pretty strong messages to his people that if they defy him, that he will be ruthless. He is not going to brook any kind of opposition. One of the important things to keep in mind is that in 2013, he had his own uncle executed. His uncle had been accused of plotting, exactly, overthrow the regime. And, you know, that was a chilling. I remember that, and it really, very chilling. This is what that told his people, particularly the elites who may have been grumbling or perhaps had some side deals that were taking away from his coffers. And the message that sent was no one is safe, not even the uncle. Now he's going even one step farther and saying, no one, not even my brother, is safe. And I can get you no matter where you are in the world. You may have left the country, but I can still get a hold of you. Now, I should say all of that with the caveat, because of course this is still all very circumstantial, but hypothetically, it would be a very plausible scenario. And in the minds of the North Koreans, not so implausible given the history, both recently with the killing of the uncle and throughout their traditional history.
Jean Lee, Global Fellow with the Wilson Center in Washington, currently in South Korea. Thanks so much, Jean.
Thank you so much.